Ever get the feeling like, we're being kind of shortchanged in math class?
Oh, absolutely.
Not just like, ugh, fractions again, but like a deeper sense that something's missing.
Yeah.
Imagine like finding out your whole life you've only eaten bland gruel when a gourmet feast was like always available right there.
That's a powerful image.
Right.
And it gets at what Mark McCourt describes in his book, A Mathematics Manifesto.
Okay.
He argues that's exactly what's happening with how we teach math.
Oh,
we're stuck on the gruel when there's this whole world of mathematical beauty and excitement out there.
Okay, so I'm intrigued. We've got excerpts from his manifesto for this deep dive.
Great.
What's the, like, core issue here?
So McCourt says we've reduced math to its economic utility.
Okay.
We're training workers instead of cultivating thinkers. And we prioritize, like, getting the right answer.
Right.
Over understanding the why.
Yeah.
And this misses, you know, the immense long-term benefits of truly engaging with mathematical thinking.
So it's like we're teaching people to use a calculator.
Yes.
Without explaining what's actually happening.
Exactly.
When they punch in the numbers, they get the answer.
Yeah.
But they don't really understand the, like, the magic behind it.
Precisely. It's like learning the alphabet without ever getting to enjoy a story.
Oh.
McCourt calls for a radical shift. Instead of just teaching about math, we should be teaching students to behave mathematically.
Right.
To think the way mathematicians do.
Okay. I like where this is going.
Good.
Now you've got me curious. What does it even mean to behave mathematically?
Right.
Is there a secret handshake I missed out on?
Well, I'm afraid there's no secret handshake.
Okay.
But it is about fostering a certain mindset.
Okay.
Think curiosity, asking questions,
yeah.
Embracing the struggle of, like, a tough problem, you know,
yeah.
And constantly, like, searching for those aha moments when patterns click into place.
So it's less about memorizing formulas.
Yes.
And more about cultivating, like, a sense of wonder and exploration.
Exactly.
Kind of like a mathematician on a quest for, like,
yeah.
Knowledge. Yeah.
Exactly. And McCourt proposes something really intriguing to achieve this,
okay.
Structuring the entire math curriculum around what he calls the 8 threads of mathematical thought.
8 threads.
8 threads.
That sounds elaborate.
It is.
Is he weaving us a tapestry of mathematical enlightenment here?
You could say that. Think of these threads as like interwoven storylines,
okay.
Running from elementary school all the way through high school.
Wow.
They represent different but interconnected areas of math, each offering, you know, unique tools and perspectives.
Okay, so walk us through these threads.
Sure.
What kind of mathematical adventures do they, like, hold?
Okay, well, imagine a world where you could morph a coffee cup into a donut.
Wait, what?
Without any cutting or gluing.
Hold on.
That's the world of topology and geometry.
Okay.
A fascinating field that's used in everything from computer graphics to data science.
Whoa, hold up.
Yeah.
Coffee cup, meat donut. That's some serious mathematical magic right there.
It is.
Sign me up for that class.
Right. It's just the beginning.
Okay.
Next, we've got abstract algebra and group theory, the mathematics of symmetry and transformations.
Mm-hmm.
This thread helps us understand everything from the fundamental forces of the universe to the secrets behind cryptography and coding.
From coffee donut transformations.
Yes.
To unlocking the mysteries of the cosmos.
Exactly.
This is quite the deep dive already.
It is.
And we're only on thread number 2.
There's so much more to uncover. We've got functional analysis and operator theory.
Okay.
Which deals with complex systems and infinite dimensions.
All right.
It's used in fields like quantum mechanics and signal processing.
Right.
Pretty mind-blowing stuff.
Okay, that one sounds a bit intimidating.
Yeah.
Even for a self-proclaimed math enthusiast like me, I might need a lifeline for that one.
Sure, sure.
What else is on the menu?
Don't worry, there's a thread for everyone.
How about category theory?
Imagine a master key that unlocks the secrets of multiple rooms. That's category theory.
Hmm.
It helps us see connections between seemingly different areas of math, revealing, you know, a deeper underlying structure.
Okay, I'm starting to see how these threads connect.
Yeah.
It's like we're weaving together this rich tapestry of, like, mathematical understanding.
Yes.
Exploring patterns and connections across different areas.
Exactly.
I'm ready for the next set of threads. What else have we got?
Well, in a world increasingly driven by connections.
Right.
Graph theory and network science has become incredibly relevant.
Yeah.
This thread explores the mathematics of networks, from social media and the internet to biological systems and even the human brain.
So from understanding how, like, information spreads online.
Yes.
To mapping the connections in our own brains.
Yeah, yeah.
Graph theory is key to like deciphering our interconnected world.
It is.
This is fascinating stuff.
It is. And if you're intrigued by the unpredictable, buckle up for nonlinear dynamics and chaos theory.
Okay.
We're talking systems that behave in unexpected ways,
like
weather patterns or the stock market.
Yeah.
Remember the butterfly effect? That's chaos theory in action.
Chaos theory always makes my brain do a little loop-de-loop, but in a good way.
Good.
It reminds us that even in the seemingly chaotic, there are underlying patterns and principles at play.
Exactly.
What's next on our mathematical adventure?
Prepare to dive into the very foundations of mathematics with mathematical logic and computability theory.
Yeah.
We're talking about the limits of what can be proven and computed, exploring like mind-bending concepts like Gödel's incompleteness theorems.
Okay, we might need to dedicate an entire deep dive to that thread. It sounds like we're entering the realm of like pure mathematical thought.
We could. And finally, we have the bedrock upon which all these threads rest. Mathematical grammar.
Mathematical grammar.
Yeah.
That sounds surprisingly fundamental.
It is.
Tell me more.
It might sound basic.
Okay.
But it's about deeply understanding the building blocks of math, arithmetic, algebra, and number theory. Not just memorizing rules.
Right.
But grasping the why behind them.
Okay.
It's about developing fluency in the language of mathematics.
So it's like mastering the grammar of a language before you can write a novel.
Exactly.
It gives you the tools to express complex ideas and explore new possibilities.
Yes.
I can see why it's so important.
It is. It's the foundation for unlocking the potential of all the other threads.
Wow. We've covered a lot of ground here.
Hmm.
McCourt has presented us with a truly ambitious vision for what math education could be.
He has.
But he's not just proposing like a new set of topics, is he? He's talking about like a fundamental shift in how we approach math, right?
Absolutely. And a big part of that shift involves rethinking how we teach the fundamentals.
Okay.
Starting with McCourt's ideas about mathematical grammar and specifically place value. You're right. It is about fundamentally changing our approach.
Right.
And that starts with something most people wouldn't expect. Place value.
Place value.
Yes.
Like ones, tens, hundreds. Mm-hmm. I haven't used those since like elementary school.
Exactly. We usually learn place value in base 10.
Okay.
The system we use every day.
Right, right.
But McCourt argues that like limiting ourselves to base 10 is like only reading books in one language. You miss out on the richness and nuances of others.
Okay, so he wants us to brush up on our Klingon. I'm not sure I'm ready for that.
Not Klingon, but how about binary or hexadecimal? They sound intimidating, but they're just different ways of representing numbers.
Okay.
The point is that by learning arithmetic in other bases, we gain a deeper understanding of how all number systems work, including our own decimal system.
So it's like taking a detour to get a better view of the mountain.
Exactly.
By exploring other systems, we gain a fresh perspective on the like the familiar.
Exactly.
Wow.
And here's where it gets really exciting. McCourt shows how understanding place value across multiple bases makes the jump to algebra feel natural and intuitive.
Wait, really? I always thought of algebra as like this whole other beast, you know?
Right.
X's and Y's roaming free.
Right, right.
What does place value have to do with that?
More than you'd think. Imagine the expression X saw 5 X 6.
Okay.
This is structurally identical to the number 156 in base 10.
Okay.
The only difference is that in algebra, the base is an unknown variable, x,
right,
instead of the familiar 10.
Whoa, you're blowing my mind a little.
Yeah.
So by working with different bases, we're secretly doing algebra all along without even realizing it.
Exactly. It's like learning a new language by speaking it.
Right.
Rather than memorizing grammar rules.
Yeah.
McCourt suggests introducing base 2 arithmetic alongside base 10 as early as elementary school.
Wow, that's a bold move.
Hmm.
But you're saying it could lead to a smoother transition to algebra later on.
Yes.
Making it feel like a natural progression rather than a terrifying leap into the unknown.
Precisely. And it's not just about algebra.
Okay.
Understanding place value this way prepares students for more advanced concepts.
Right.
Modular arithmetic used in cryptography.
Right.
Binary and hexadecimal in computer science.
Okay.
Even polynomials and functions.
Like we're giving them a more powerful toolkit. Equipped to handle a wider range of mathematical challenges.
Exactly. By mastering this fundamental mathematical grammar, students become fluent in the language of math, able to express complex ideas and explore advanced concepts with confidence.
I'm convinced. Mm-hmm. McCourt's approach to place value is like a game changer.
It is.
But let's talk about how he proposes we actually cultivate this mathematical behavior in students. We've got the curriculum, but what about the learning process itself?
That's where things get even more interesting.
Okay.
McCourt says it's not enough to just change what we teach. We need to change how we teach.
So less rote memorization.
Yes.
More exploration and discovery.
Exactly. Imagine a math classroom where instead of drilling multiplication tables,
right,
students are encouraged to discover patterns and relationships on their own.
Okay.
Maybe through hands-on activities or visual models.
I love that. It's like we're turning math class into like a detective agency.
Yes.
Where students are the investigators searching for clues and like piecing together the puzzle of like mathematical understanding.
That's a fantastic analogy.
What?
And just like any good detective, students need to develop resilience.
Okay.
That ability to persevere when the going gets tough. McCourt stresses the importance of encouraging students to embrace the struggle.
Yeah.
To see mistakes as opportunities for learning, not failures.
So it's about creating a classroom culture where it's safe to like take risks.
Yes.
To ask questions and to learn from our mistakes.
That's...
Where the process of figuring things out is just as important as arriving at the, you know, quote unquote, right answer.
Exactly. And that's where the teacher's role is so crucial.
Oh.
They become less of a lecturer and more of a facilitator.
Okay.
Guiding students on their individual mathematical journeys.
So imagine a math classroom buzzing with activity.
Yes.
Students collaborating, experimenting, debating, like different approaches to a problem.
Right.
With a teacher there to like offer support and guidance along the way.
Yeah.
That sounds a lot more engaging than the like silent lecture halls I remember.
It's a whole new paradigm.
Right.
And it requires us to rethink how we assess students' progress too.
Right, yeah.
We can't foster this kind of deep understanding and then just test them on their ability to memorize formulas.
That's for sure. So how does McCourt propose we like measure success within this new framework?
He advocates for a mastery-based system,
okay,
where the focus is on each student's individual progress and understanding,
okay,
rather than comparing them to others.
So less about standardized tests.
Yes.
And more about ensuring each student like truly grasps the concepts at their own pace.
Exactly. Imagine a system where students progress through those 8 mathematical threads we discussed earlier,
right,
at their own speed, demonstrating mastery of one level before moving on to the next.
It's like a personalized learning adventure.
Yes.
Where each student embarks on their own, like, mathematical quest.
Yes.
Guided by their own curiosity and supported by their teachers.
Precisely. And this approach allows for specialization, too.
Mm.
As students progress, they can choose to delve deeper into the areas that, like, spark their interest,
yeah,
becoming, you know, young experts in, say, chaos theory or topology.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that every student has their own unique mathematical journey.
Yes.
Their own strengths and passions.
Exact.
But this all sounds incredibly ambitious.
It is.
How do we even begin to, like, implement such a radical shift in our approach to math education?
That's where McCourt's insights from cognitive science come into play.
Okay.
He argues that if we want to teach math effectively, we need to understand how the brain actually learns.
Okay, so we're talking about the science of learning. How does that fit into the picture?
Well, he draws on concepts like cognitive load theory,
okay,
which means we need to be mindful of how much new information we introduce at once.
Right.
So we don't overwhelm students.
Right.
We should break down complex ideas into manageable chunks and use, you know, clear, concise explanations.
So it's like building a house. We need to lay a strong foundation before we can add on the walls and the roof.
Exactly. He also highlights the importance of spaced repetition and retrieval practice.
Okay.
Techniques that have been shown to, like, enhance long-term retention.
So it's not just about teaching a concept once, but, like, revisiting it multiple times in different contexts.
Right.
Encouraging students to, like, actively recall the information from memory.
Precisely. It's like building a well-worn path in the brain.
Right. Making it easier to access that information when needed.
It's fascinating how these cognitive science principles can be applied to enhance the way we teach and learn math.
Yeah.
But there's one more piece of the puzzle we haven't touched on yet.
Okay.
McCourt's acknowledgement that we can't predict the future of math.
Right.
So how can we be sure that his 8 threads will remain relevant in the years to come?
That's a question he addresses directly.
Okay.
He recognizes that mathematics is constantly evolving, with new areas of study emerging all the time.
Right.
He's not claiming that these 8 threads are the only ones that matter.
Right.
But rather that they represent a solid bet on what will be essential in the future.
So it's about equipping students with the tools and the mindset. to adapt to, like whatever mathematical challenges come their way,
exactly.
whether we can anticipate them now or not.
Exactly. And that's why he emphasizes the importance of continuously reviewing and updating the curriculum,
okay.
incorporating new discoveries and adapting to the changing needs of society.
So it's not about rigidly adhering to like a fixed set of rules, but mm-hmm. about embracing a spirit of continuous improvement and evolution in math education.
Absolutely. It's a call to action for educators, policymakers, and mathematicians
right.
to engage in an ongoing conversation about how to best prepare students for the mathematical landscape of the future.
This has been incredibly insightful, but I think there's one more like crucial aspect of McCourt's manifesto we should discuss. Mm-hmm. He's not just advocating for a change in how we teach math.
Right.
He's calling for a fundamental shift in how we value math.
Absolutely. And this is where his vision extends beyond the classroom and into the very fabric of our society.
What do you mean?
Well, McCourt argues that we've become too focused on the practical applications of math,
okay.
seeing it primarily as a tool for economic gain.
Okay.
He believes we need to reclaim mathematics as a fundamental human pursuit,
mm.
a way of understanding the world and engaging with its complexities.
Okay.
For its own inherent beauty and intellectual richness.
It's about appreciating the elegance of a proof.
Yes.
The thrill of discovering a new pattern. The sheer joy of problem solving, not just for its utility, but for the pure intellectual satisfaction it brings.
Exactly. It's about cultivating a sense of wonder and curiosity about the mathematical underpinnings of the universe.
Yeah.
Recognizing that math is more than just a subject in school. It's a lens through which we can better understand ourselves and the world around us.
It's about seeing the world through mathematical eyes, finding patterns in nature, appreciating the elegance of a well-crafted equation.
Precisely. It's about fostering a society where mathematical thinking is valued not just for its economic utility, but for its power to enrich our lives and deepen our understanding of the universe.
That's a beautiful vision. But with all this talk about revolutionizing math education, I can't help but wonder, does McCourt's vision, like, stop at the classroom door?
That's an interesting thought, yeah.
Well, he focuses so much on how we teach math to kids, right?
Right.
But what about those of us who are, like, well past our school years?
Yeah.
Is it too late for us to, like, rediscover that joy of mathematical exploration?
I don't think it's ever too late.
Okay.
In fact, McCourt's framework might be especially relevant for adults who maybe, like, had negative experiences with math in the past.
You mean all those years of standardized tests and memorizing formulas might have, like, turned us off from the true beauty of math?
Exactly. But imagine if we could go back and approach math with a fresh perspective.
Yep.
What if, instead of seeing it as a chore, we saw it as a playground for the mind, a way to explore, like, fascinating concepts and challenge ourselves intellectually.
I love that image. Math is a playground. And you know what else? It's not like we have to go back to school to do this, right?
Right.
There are so many incredible resources available. Online courses, videos, articles.
Absolutely.
We can explore those 8 threads we discussed
yeah.
at our own pace, diving deeper into the areas that like intrigue us most.
Exactly. Imagine like spending an evening unraveling the mysteries of chaos theory.
Right.
Or exploring the elegant logic of, you know, mathematical proofs.
Yeah.
It's like unlocking hidden chambers in your own mind.
And who knows, maybe this deep dive isn't just about rethinking math education for, like, the next generation.
Yeah.
Maybe it's about inspiring a whole new wave of adult math enthusiasts.
Maybe, yeah.
The people who see math not as a subject they had to, like, endure in school, but as a source of like endless fascination and intellectual stimulation.
Absolutely. I think you're onto something.
Yeah.
McCourt's manifesto could spark a movement.
Okay.
Not just in classrooms, but in like living rooms and coffee shops across the globe.
Wow.
People gathering to discuss mathematical concepts, to challenge each other with puzzles, to rediscover that joy of learning for the pure pleasure of it.
It's like we're reclaiming math from the like the dry textbooks and sterile classrooms.
Yeah.
And injecting it back into the messy, joyful, endlessly curious realm of like everyday life, you know.
Precisely. And in doing so, we're not just expanding our own minds, but we're fostering a culture that values intellectual curiosity and celebrates the pursuit of knowledge for its own sake.
Well said. So to our listeners, we challenge you. Pick up McCourt's Mathematics Manifesto.
Yes.
would its ideas percolate?
Yeah.
And who knows? You might just surprise yourself with how much you enjoy flexing those mathematical muscles.
Absolutely.
No matter how long it's been since you last set foot in a classroom.
It's never too late.
That's a wrap on this deep dive into the world of math education and beyond. We hope you've enjoyed the journey as much as we have.
Until next time, keep those minds curious and those questions coming.